Welcome to JW Community Podcast, where my mum is basically just blabbering on about nonsense.
Thank you, fam.
Hello and welcome to an extra special edition of podcast. I'm broadcasting on my own and I have a mystery guest with me tonight, somebody who's just been to Kingdom Hall and come back. Hello, mystery guest.
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Matt Powell and I am your partner.
Oh, I remember you.
Thank you.
Do you live in my house?
I do indeed.
Okay, can you tell us what you did tonight, partner?
So, as you are aware, you're a Jehovah's Witness.
I was a Jehovah's Witness.
And so I am what you would call a normal person with no religious background, apart from a little bit of C of E when I was young, a bit of Sunday schooling, that kind of thing. But apart from that, I have no real religious background. So I thought tonight I will see for my own self what a Jehovah's Witness meeting was all about.
Oh my God.
Who went, what type of people, and just get a general feel of the people that went, really, and what it was about. So that's why I went.
Okay, so first of all, tell us on what basis you picked the congregation that you picked.
Well, I picked the King's Home congregation because I thought it would have the least chance.
That's not there. What you said to me. You said to me you thought it would have the most totty.
Oh, it would have the most totty, and there were some totty there.
There was
genuine totty.
I genuinely knew there would be.
They were slightly foreign.
Okay.
They had the foreign names because they were Sister Carvelio. Oh. She did a lot of talking.
Oh.
And so they weren't English, but they were still totty.
Full on totty. See, I told you not all God people are like Ned Flanders.
No.
Were you impressed?
But by what? By the totty?
Yeah.
Yes, there were some very totty. However, there were a lot of hugely obese men.
Oh, really?
Old, obese, and huge.
Wow.
Old, and fat.
So, it wasn't a Sunday meeting. Sunday's the meeting that you traditionally is invited to the public. You went to a Thursday meeting, which is more like an in-house one, where they're like preaching to the converted. So did you feel odd going in? Were you welcomed or were they suspicious of you?
I was welcomed with open arms.
You are joking me.
My hand is tired by the amount of people I shook hands
no.
with. People would come up to me, just walk up from five or six rows away and shake my hand.
I don't get
all
that.
All men though, not women. No women. I didn't actually speak to any women. It was all men. And they would literally come up to me, shake my hand with that lovely, innocent shake, and then look at my own eyes. And when I went in, and when I originally went in, I was greeted by two old guys, one called...
Oh, he's got notes.
One called David and one called Richard.
I think I know them. So I think David is... David... Familiar?
No, it's David Outlet.
Oh, okay. And was the Richard Beard?
Yes.
Yes, knew it. He's a massive rugby supporter. He has a season ticket to Gloucester Rugby. I used to, like 20 years ago when I was in.
Right, because there was a Richard. Obviously, there's a number of Richards.
Many a Richard.
I sat next. So I went in, obviously, spoke to these two guys. They introduced me to about 12 other people. So I'm shaking everyone's hand, and they're all saying, great to see you, how did you, why are you here? And I said, well, I met a lady at the cross in Gloucester, and she gave me a leaflet. And I thought I'd come down and see what it was like.
Oh, my God.
So they're all like, woo!
But that's literally never happened in the history of Jehovah's Witness kind.
So a lot of the men introduced themselves, and we all sat down. And they put me next to, I will put money on this, they put me next to a paedophile. Without doubt. Everything about him said paedophile. Everything. I only sensed about six or seven paedophiles there.
Oh my God, you can't say that. You don't know that's true.
Out of about 100.
Right. So, only six or seven.
But there were definitely at least five or six.
Jeez. So you went in, you got there before the meeting started, yeah?
Correct.
And they all shook your hand and you sat down.
Yeah.
And then opening song?
Opening song was, I've got the last one in my head, which is, praise the God, praise the Jehovah God.
It's like we were there.
It was there. It was great. So yeah. that was a better song at the end. Right. It's really short, but oh, they're terrible singers. I mean, I thought Church of England was bad, or football
hooligans
was bad. There was no enthusiasm for these songs.
Did you not try singing "Ooh Are Ya, Ooh Are Ya"?
No, so there was no enthusiasm. There was a big projector at the front with the words, so you could sing along.
Wait, so nobody had a songbook?
Well, they might have. No, everyone had tablets.
Oh my God.
Everybody, apart from me, they gave me two Bibles.
Two Bibles?
So a little Bible, little circle Bible, and then this big thing with all the pictures and the illustrations, because we did illustrations tonight and how important they are.
Oh, okay, good.
Because they're simple, and Jesus used them. Just in case you don't know. So anyway.
I can't believe you're preaching to me.
So, I've got next week, before I forget, next week, homework. Why, what did Jesus mean by little dog? Ooh. What did he mean? I'll find out next week.
Oh, but you can't wait, can you?
Anyway, so, what were we talking about?
They gave you two Bibles.
So I had them two Bibles, and I had you have an agenda, and they have to stick by it now.
Right.
So it's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And everywhere around England, it's an hour and a half.
Right.
So it's 3 minutes for this, 6 minutes for this, 8 minutes for this, bam, bam, bam. And the longest part is at the end, the Bible study for 30 minutes.
Do you know what I reckon? I reckon you being there is like when Ofsted come into one of my classes and suddenly I do the best class ever in the world. I bet they were all set up for like a really dull meeting tonight. And then you rocked up and they were like, quick, quick, Ofsted's in. Do a good one. Stick to the timings.
Well, I would say the guy who hosted it was good. He was quite charismatic, a bit like me, young.
A bit like me.
But no, young.
Right, sorry,
Smart.
Yeah.
And actually, if you take the entire, I think there was 100 people there.
Yeah. And was there 100 people there?
Yeah.
Right.
About 100.
That's what I said, isn't it?
There are. The audience breaks down into a number of groups.
Right.
And there are smart men between the ages of 30 and 45.
Yeah.
Who are smart, articulate, passionate about it, and they know their stuff. They really are. And they're just bang, they're there. And then there's a lot of rubbish.
Right.
A lot of people. And my first thought when I went into, when they first started, because they obviously break it up into different sections, and they read lots of parts of the Bible, and then they discuss them, and they all have put their hands up,
right,
and they go around with a microphone.
All
of it's like that.
Yeah.
And the first half an hour felt, and this is what it felt like, I was in an A-level maths class.
Yeah.
But with GCSE students.
Right, yeah.
So they would ask a question, and the kids would know the words, but they were all so incoherent.
Yeah.
They were just saying words.
Yeah.
None of it made any sense. It was like they knew what the word, they knew the topic, so we're going equation.
They knew how to do it, but
they didn't even know how to do it. They knew how to say the words, and they knew bits of it, but they were never going to get an answer, and it was all very over their heads.
That's really interesting. That is a phenomenon with poor readers, actually, a separate issue. It's called barking at words. So you can get a child that can read all the words, but they have no idea what the sentence means. And that's called barking at words, because you can read the words, but there's no comprehension there.
And they go round, and obviously they go, right, open forum type thing, and people start putting their hands up. And I mean, I'm not great. I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I know enough. And there'd be six people that knew their stuff.
Yeah.
And they would let the thickies
mop up the easy and then, stuff, and then go to the
swatty kid to get the answer. And they did that every time.
Yeah. It's inclusion, that is.
It is. And then they would do, like I said, it was all broken into loads of different pieces. It seemed 3 minutes here, 5 minutes there, different things. And they had role-playing, so they had to improve how you sell the book, basically.
Right.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And
no,
they,
it is,
and
yeah.
they would bring up two people,
yeah.
and they'd go through scenarios.
Wait, women or men?
Women.
So women were always in twos, which is how it's because they're not allowed to teach. So a woman is not allowed to stand at the front and face the audience, that's teaching. Whereas if she turns sideways and faces another person, that's not teaching.
So they would have a comp. So one would be the person on the door, and one would be the...
One would be the John, and one would be the...
and one would be the Jehovah.
Yeah.
So what the topic was tonight was, is the Bible compatible with science?
Oh, for goodness sake. So, did you not want to shout out, no?
So they'd go like, well, science has proven that the Earth is circular and it floats in space.
That's the only one they've got.
But, and they'll go, but look at this Bible, Job version.
Versus something.
It says here, the Earth will...
That was round.
And it floated in space. So 600 years before science discovered it, the Bible knew it. So that was one of the bits. And we did a lot about... We did a lot about, and this was boring, I found, really. I didn't find it all boring, because it was quite, you know, it's quite, not interesting, but...
Fascinating.
Was the astrologers?
Yeah.
The bits of Jesus.
Yeah. The three wise men that, well, no one wise men, they were astrologers.
Yeah.
But even my Catholic school acknowledges that.
But there was all this, I didn't know this, I mean, because obviously I was C of E and a kid, and basically there's these blokes that came and gave the baby gifts, and the baby was happy, it's Jesus, whatever. Yeah. But we spent half an hour discussing the undertones to it all, that this King Harold, who was quite a nasty bloke, who was very evil indeed, Satan's a bad man, by the way.
Okay.
He's behind everything. He was behind sending them to Jesus, and he was going to kill Jesus, because Jesus apparently wasn't a baby. By the time King Harold had found out, he was a young child, and this is very important, apparently, that he's not a baby,
he was
a young
child. Right.
And it's very important that they came from the East, and they would never have got there in 600...
There was loads of
half an hour discussing this. I'm like, Christ, can't we just wrap this up and move on?
You know what I say, guys, let it go.
Let it go.
Christmas is over.
Oh.
It's the end of January now. We've all had February's pay. No. We're well past it.
My favourite bit was the courtship. Because that got me, that was interesting. The courtship.
No. So, it sounded like they jumped around a lot.
Well, it started, I mean, the Bible study was at the end. That was 30 minutes of just, Christ, hurry up. But the ones before were 33 minutes.
Yeah,
and just
so you
knock
could
them
cope,
through.
Yeah.
And in the middle, there was the courtship. And basically, if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you're courting, you're actually in a threesome because you're with Jehovah.
Oh,
so as you're with Jehovah, you shouldn't be doing these things because your heart's weak.
Yeah.
And in the Bible version, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's your heart that's going to give up. It's the heart's going to give you away. So you've got to want to do this for Jehovah, apparently.
Right.
So Jehovah will give you the strength, and that if you don't do any nookie or anything naughty, that in your wedding, it'll be the best marriage ever and last forever.
Right.
As we know, it's bullshit.
Because I didn't do no nookie, and my wedding lasted about 8 years.
So the courtship was very good. It was obviously some dirty old man telling you what you should and shouldn't do. And
tell me, what should you and shouldn't you do?
You should never put yourself in a position where you are tempted.
Right.
You should never be isolated with that person.
Okay.
You should always have Jehovah with you and not just that other man. So you've got to have Jehovah with you all the time.
Yeah.
And then, but you never have him on your own.
Wait, but let's assume that Jehovah is with you all the time because you can't necessarily see him, can you? So if me and you went for a walk down the lane and but there's no other like visible humanoid with us, but we could just go, well, Jehovah's with us.
Yes.
That sounds like a new turn on it to me, because we actually had to take a whole human being with us.
Ah, well, they didn't say that. They just said that Jehovah will save you. If you believe in Jehovah, he will keep you pure. You won't ruin your relationship with him.
Right.
There you go. So, there were loads of kids. There were lots of kids there. And, well, actually, there were, if you break down the audience,
complete cross-section.
There was, but you mean a cross-section of odd people, really. You have old people.
Yeah. You've always had them in churches,
yeah,
mind
you. Old people. You have fat old men on their own, single old men, fat.
Oh.
Then you have the generational ones.
Yeah.
And you also, and you have the really keen men,
yeah,
who are 35 to 40, with their hot wives, because they all did have hot wives that looked
dirty. Well, you were surprised, weren't you?
Yeah, but they weren't like four kids.
Well, they had hot wives. Hot of course, they'd have four kids.
They're knocking them out. So, there was that section, and then there was the disabled.
Yeah.
There was lots of them. And there was one bloke, I mean, fair play to him, because he was on another planet, and he couldn't speak properly.
Oh.
And every time he put his hand up, they let him speak.
Oh.
And I kept thinking, why do you keep doing that? Because he's not making any sense. And whatever you said, I just reckon you could have said anything, and they'd have gone, good point.
Well, you could if you were disabled, but if you were...
But everybody seemed to... Obviously, you have homework, and obviously, I didn't do the homework,
no,
so I wasn't in
the club.
And there are people there, you can tell, really get into it. They really read this Bible, and they really try to work it out.
Yeah.
And mainly are women.
Yeah.
They're mainly women.
Yeah,
men can't be asked.
Yeah.
Especially the old guys. They've all got their tablets. I mean, I saw some on BBC.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking and they're on BBC websites and, you know, they're not even interested.
Huh.
And so, what was I going to say about that? Go on.
They were really, said here, some of them were really studying. Because when I was in, we used to call ourselves Bible students and we used to think that we really studied it. But like what you went back to about barking at words, we did really study it, but it's incomprehensible. So you end up just trying to make sense of nonsense.
Well, that's why I quoted I said about the A-level maths.
Mm.
Because majority of people in there just aren't intelligent enough. They don't have the vocabulary, they don't have the reading skills to be able to understand it.
And that's why they're simplifying the magazines.
You'd have to dumb it down so much for these people.
Oh, yeah.
You can just see their eyes are glazed over. Mm. Nobody, apart from me because I'm new, I was looking at everybody.
Yeah.
Like, what's everyone doing? Nobody, even when I would naturally, as soon as someone started talking with a microphone, I would look.
Yeah.
Nobody looks.
Isn't that interesting?
They just look at their tablet and switch off.
Huh?
And the same five or six people answer all the questions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was me when I was in. I was one of those five or six people.
All the young lads have the same haircut. They all have this same, like, it's just like a really... it's not a basin cut, but it's very much, I don't know, it's like a do-it-yourself home job. It's a real odd.
Really?
Yeah, and I feel sorry for the lads.
Oh.
The girls seemed to be a bit more, it wasn't as strict as I thought, actually, because there were kids crying, kids playing on their Apple, on their iPads, there were kids talking.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was.
Did nobody get taken out and belted?
No.
Oh,
they
my
were
God.
Just, I was really surprised at their tolerance towards noise, because there were babies crying.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Wouldn't have happened in my day.
There were kids just talking and walking around.
No, really?
And even like the keen dads.
Yeah.
Just let them get on with it.
Huh? That's really interesting. Did it feel like survival mode? I mean, the people that were there, like you said, they weren't looking, did it just feel like they were just getting through it? Or?
It was so boring. That was the problem for me. I mean, the first 45 minutes, 50 minutes were fine. But if you can't relate to what they're saying, and you can't because they're going on about Romans, they're going on about things 2,000 years old.
I know, I used
they're
to going think on that. About, ancient Israelites. I used to think, what's this got to do with the price of bread?
But the people that were talking didn't understand it. They were talking about this one particular example was about wheat, right? There's wheat. Jesus is sowing wheat.
Yeah.
And there's a devil with him that's putting weeds in the wheat.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And you're trying to explain what that's about.
Oh
and
yeah, what it represents.
And they can't even explain it clearly.
Really?
So people are just like,
just
well, what was any of that about? So why did Satan do that? Oh, I haven't got a clue really, but, and then they just relate a verse in the Bible.
Right, and that's the end
and
of
it.
This is the end of the argument, the scripture. Did Satan come up a lot then?
Yeah, he's not good, but he did come up a lot. He came up basically in everything.
Really? Yeah, that's really Satan. Interesting. Because if you think about a small child, 2, 3, 4 year old, listening to that every Thursday night, every Sunday night.
Oh.
That's a lot of Satan for a little kid to take in, isn't it? And when you take things, you know, children take things literally for quite some years, it's developmentally, they don't become symbolic until they're 8 or 9.
If I was black, I'd be quite pissed off because white is Jesus, black is Satan. But that's what, and it's to me, that's as soon as he said, oh, white represents Jesus, I thought, racist. like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, racist.
That's a bit racist, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, I thought the content was way above their heads. I'm just trying. I think they need to go down more the C of E route, where it's like Sunday school. Just try to get them to understand, and you know, the basics. Don't just blurt off verses of the bloody Bible that you haven't got a clue how that. There's no application, is there?
Just don't blurt off verses of the Bible.
But there's no application. They can't. They don't seem to be able to get the concept, and it was all, I think, a waste of time.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
It's a waste of time.
It's a massive waste of time.
You could have spent 25 minutes.
You could have done that in a few emails.
Have a more of a meeting.
Yeah.
So.
So, did they sing a song in the middle?
They sang 2 songs.
Oh, really? Only one at the beginning and one at the end?
Yeah.
No middle song?
No.
Oh, disappointing.
2 prayers.
Yeah.
One at the end.
Yeah.
Alex, you have 30 minutes. Then you have 3 questions. It went on for 10 minutes. He read about, a lot of it was, do you know what I didn't like? I suppose it's me personally. They seem to dwell on things that to me are completely irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. I mean, it's like the detail behind the detail. And I think, get over that. Just move on to the stuff that people are interested in. But it was just also, I don't know, so pedantic.
Yeah.
Just.
But what you're forgetting is you went along one time. They've been doing that for 40, 50, 60 years, twice a week. There's only so much you can talk about until you're just repeating. So they'll have heard all of that thousands of times over. So you end up being pedantic because just to try and wring a bit more out of it. Do you know what I mean? You just drill down and down and down and down until it's utterly. It'd be like reading a book, and instead of reading a page to get the sense of it, you just read a sentence, and then you just read a word, and then you're just looking at one letter, and then you get your magnifying glass out, and you're looking at the dots of ink on the letter, and it don't make any sense anymore because you're drilling down so much just to try and make it, I don't know, spin out a bit.
Yeah. It was an experience.
Oh, I should think it was.
I suppose I felt pity for him, really. I felt that, oh dear, you could tell a lot of them just a bit hopeless, really. They're just desperate to believe in something. But,
yeah,
there's much more interesting things to believe in than this. I wouldn't go again. It just is so boring. You know, it's not even, there's nothing sexy about it, is there? There's nothing to grip you on next week.
I don't know, there's a fun question.
There's a fun, yeah, Jesus and something about this little dog.
That's a new one on me.
And what was the other bit? I want to remember, typically say, I want to remember some of these bits and pieces. But it does go.
Did they, when they were speaking to you and shaking your hand and that, at the end, were they like trying to say, oh, please come back? And
they wanted to come to my house. And they said, oh, we'd love to come on that Wednesday or Sunday.
And you said, oh, you'd love to come to my house. You don't know who I keep there. You come to my house and see.
So I gave them a false address. I said, yeah, come on Wednesday. I live.
No, shut the front door.
I said, I live at 16 London Road. Come Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Oh my God, you're so funny. So some poor innocent.
Two of them, I know the two that are coming.
Oh.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna phone him up and cancel.
You got a phone number?
There you go.
Okay.
I've got Dave.
You got Dave?
Dave's number.
David.
Outlet.
Outlet.
Brother Outlet, please.
Brother, did they do that? Because said to me, didn't you? You said, did you really call it to the brother and sister?
And to be fair, they've been there so long, because they know everybody.
Yeah.
So brother this, sister this. But they don't call kids, do they? They call them by their name.
I think, I could be wrong because it's been so long, but I think you get called brother and sister when you've been baptised.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you haven't been baptised, you might just get your first name. I'm not entirely sure on that, but I think so. That'd be why you wouldn't call kids it. Did you have any sense of how you felt for the kids that clearly had no choice in this life?
I think the kids seem the most enthusiastic, which is the sad part. Mm. They, especially the girls.
Yeah.
The lads could just switch off.
Mm.
But the girls, I mean, they'd answer the questions.
Oh.
And they'd be singing, and they were like, you know, they all... But a lot of the women were on their own with the kids. So where are the men? I'd say 50% of the women were on their own.
Really?
But had kids, but no man.
Right. So if you were looking for a partner and you didn't mind a bundle of kids...
And didn't mind not having sex before you got married.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be the big no-no for me.
For me?
No good marrying somebody's crap in the sack, is there?
That's nonsense.
So, the kids... It didn't feel like it, apart from the paedophile sat next to and keeping well away from the kids, and a few other fat blokes. It felt okay. It didn't felt like, oh, pedo central.
No.
It felt
too
dangerous for them.
Except that you can't know that because the paedophile grooms over a period of time. That's the insidious bit. I was thinking about this in the situation of somebody I know who was raped by a stranger, not a Jehovah's Witness, and those parents went straight to the police, who were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was thinking, so why... they didn't consciously think, oh, it's not a Jehovah's Witness, we'll go to the police. They just thought, oh, my God. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking it's the shock value. If you're raped by a complete stranger, like an attack, it's like... Oh, it's shocking. But if you're groomed by a paedophile, it's a friend that you've known for a long time, months or years. Mm. So there's no shock value. So when you go to your parents and say, Uncle Sticky Fingers, well, they're thinking about, I know him. And so straight away, they're not thinking, oh my God, phone the police. They're thinking, oh, wait, but really? But we know him. So that's the difference, I think. If there's a shock value...
Mm.
And it's someone you don't know, it's easy to go to the police, whereas if it's someone you know, you're starting to question it straight away, and once you're questioning it, you shouldn't be questioning it, you should just be going, anyway, that's a fine thing. So what I'm interested in is this business with the tablets. So people didn't have songbooks.
No.
And they didn't have Bibles necessarily.
Some people did, really old people did, but generally, people had tablets.
Tablets. So they didn't have book bags then because they wouldn't have needed books. So it's all on a tablet.
All on a tablet. It was weird actually. It was like, I didn't expect them to be so technological where they have all the presentations going on a big screen at the front. Everyone's got a tablet. And then, I took it to my tits, was this American accent.
Oh my God, I so agree with you. I used to hate it.
So these stupid American presentations come on
so offensive in England, I think.
And they basically, most of them are trying to teach you how to sell.
Yeah.
Their
stuff.
And today was about, losing your eyes. Your eyes are the most important thing when it comes to communication. If you can keep eye contact with the person you're talking to.
So they were literally teaching sales techniques.
Oh yeah, it was like a sales conference for 10 minutes.
How embarrassing.
If you could put your hand on somebody.
Oh my God, that's so creepy. Keep eye contact.
Yeah, I mean, it is sales.
And yet, when you go past the cart, they never look at you. No. They look down, they'll talk to each other, they'll sit with the head, they'll never be eye contacting.
No, I know, that's mad. But like I said, there were five or six right on it. You could tell. It was like they'd be...
They'll be the climbers. They'll be the ones that are either wanting to be an elder or are elders and think they've got... You know, there's a career structure for men.
Yes.
For smart men, there's a career structure. And if you've got nothing else in your life because you've not been allowed an education, that's the thing you're going to go for.
Mm. Yeah. And I couldn't believe how much homework people give them. Loads of homework.
To study all the time.
Yeah.
So when I went, we had three meetings a week, a Tuesday, a Thursday and a Sunday. You had to pre-study. So Monday we'd pre-study for the Tuesday. Wednesday I'd pre-study for the Thursday. And Saturday I'd pre-study for the Sunday. And then there's field service on top. And then there's other stuff. You have to read text every day. You've got to pray all the time. Yeah, it's to take up all your time so that you can't think straight to even assess it.
Yeah, like you said, people there were struggling to understand any of it to me.
It's funny, isn't it? It makes you wonder why they keep on going when it's clearly incomprehensible.
They just blurt out verses of the Bible.
Yeah.
And hope it's right.
I always feel that the half dozen slick guys legitimise it for everybody else. Because when I was like a teenager, I used to think, Uncle Colin's an intelligent man and he's a businessman and so it must be right because he's not stupid.
Mm.
So I could discount all the other people that were, like you said, the also-rans and the wastes and strays and detritus of society. I didn't think, oh, this delegitimizes it. I just think but Uncle so-and-so, he's a businessman and he's a clever and so that makes it all okay.
Yeah,
Did it have a hypnotizing effect?
It had a numbing effect on your brain.
Mm.
After about 50 minutes, you were like, oh, for God's sake, this is boring. I mean, it's like the thing is, they go over the same thing.
Mm.
I mean, I'm an intelligent person. You only have to tell it me once.
Yeah, and it's so offensive to be told over and over again.
So we read something.
Yeah.
Then this American says it in a different way, but the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're like, for God's sake, yes, I get it.
Yeah.
I now need the next bit. I don't need to be keep told the same thing, because I actually understand whether I believe it or not.
But I understand it.
What you're trying to tell me.
That's what I struggled with.
And that was the frustrating part, I think. But then, you have such abilities in low abilities, you have such educational ability, different levels, that you do probably have to go over things four times.
But it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because they go over things to the point where people shut down to cope with that. And then once you shut down, you feel like, I've got to tell you four times because you're so shut down. So it's kind of a downward spiral. And also, if you think about the educational side, that people are allowed to be educated.
Mm.
So you're really leaving at 16 or as soon as you can and getting, low-paid work that's not very stimulating. And then you do that for 40 years.
I suspect, if you were a window cleaner and then you went for that, it wouldn't be quite so crap.
Oh, thanks. I used to, it was crap for me. I used to be a window cleaner.
No, but then you think, oh, I've got my meeting to look forward to. I'm not going to clean any windows. They were so positive, right? I mean, people that went up to do their bits were crap. They were so bad at what they were doing. I mean, it was literally, I could have done a better job on my first.
Oh.
They were just so inarticulate. They were so.
Really?
They were just bumbling. They were just. And then the main guy would be going, oh, now I think we all got that point, didn't we? I was like, fucking, what were they talking about? I've got no idea. I couldn't hear them. And then he'd be going, now, and this lad got up to read a part of the Bible. And he was only 16, 15.
Oh, poor love.
In his suit, absolutely.
Oh, bless him.
And literally, he was really struggling. Really struggling. Anyway, he finished, thank God. And the bloke went, he said to him, he went, now that's the best public speaking I've heard you do all year. I thought, fucking hell, really? What the hell was he like before?
Okay.
But the general gist. Now I know I'm not in the club, but I have got a brain. And every time someone finished, the guy would say, "Now that was such a good point. It was such a prevalent point. I think we can really relate to it." And I kept thinking, "What? What has he just said? I have no idea what you've just said. You've just
bumbled
along.
You've
just said, and it's you could say, well, I don't know the Bible." But it's not that.
It's not.
They've just taken a bit out of it, not explained it, not put any application into it, not put any into any context, and just gone, And then everyone's, and then the clever kid, the clever kids in the class have gone, oh yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And then nobody else does.
Then that's really interesting, because one of the points that you realise when you leave the witnesses is that they tell you you've got this amazing Bible knowledge, and actually you don't know the Bible at all, like other people know it. Not that I want to know it, because I really don't care, but you do not leave with an amazing Bible knowledge, because it's so chopped up.
Oh, it's all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no kind of bigger picture to it. It's just pick a scripture to support what I want to say. Mm. Pick a scripture. So you don't leave with a good Bible knowledge at all. And the other thing that people say when they leave is that ex-Jehovah's Witnesses are often saying, oh, name one good thing that you got from being a witness. And everybody will always go, oh, I learned how to be a good public speaker.
There was two that out of, say, 20 people that spoke.
Yeah.
25. There were two that could publicly speak.
Yeah.
The rest were just a mess.
So what's happening really is that the people who are articulate, good public speakers leave the witnesses because they have other intelligences to hand. Then they go, oh, well, I learned this good public speaking from being a witness. No, you're a self-selected sample of intelligent people that have left because you're intelligent.
Yeah.
And you would have been a good public speaker anyway. You would have learned it from school. You would have done assemblies. You would have done presentations at work. Mm. It's not the witnesses that taught you to be a public speaker. It's your own intelligence that gave you that ability. And the ones that can't public speak are still in there, stood by the carts looking at the toes. Not.
Yeah. I thought, when I looked at the different people, I could tell I could tell quite easily the people that were hook, line and sinker, and there was nothing I could say to them that was going to change. They were there. There's nothing. But there weren't many of them.
Oh, really?
I would say only 20% were really in it.
Really?
I think 80% were doing it because that's what they did.
Habit.
No, and you could see they could be swayed without doubt.
Ah, that's really interesting.
Because they were just, you could just see in their eyes, they were questioning it. In their eyes, you could see it.
Hmm.
They were just like, or they just was not interested. Hmm. Questioning it. But there was 20%, and I could have said anything to them. I could have said, guess what? I've just met Jehovah.
I've just met Jehovah.
He says it's full of shit. And they would have just gone, no.
That might not be your best argument, but I take your point.
But yeah, it's funny when you, they're not all like that. They're not all diehards.
That's really interesting. So here's the other thing. You know I'm organising this protest. You might have noticed.
Right.
My entire minute of my life is taken up with XJW stuff. And one of the arguments is, what is the point? Because everybody, all Jehovah's Witnesses cannot be swayed and they're all in it, dyed in the wool. What's the point of going along? Now, actually, we're not going to try and sway people out. But that is an interesting point, that there must be people that are going along but that aren't fully in it.
Oh, without doubt. It's like any social gathering, isn't it? You know, that's your friends. It's everything. And if you leave, you lose your friends. But you can switch off for an hour and a half on a Thursday and have your friends. And I suspect, and it's nice, because they are nice people.
Yeah, I know.
They shake your hand, very welcoming.
Mm.
What I've come away with is a question, is that, I think with religion, maybe with Jehovah's Witnesses, is Jehovah's Witnesses, or is the religion? Can you blame the religion? Can you blame alcohol? Can you blame a gun?
Mm.
Is it just, like with you? Are you angry at your parents for putting you into it, but you're blaming the religion?
Right, yeah.
The religion.
Yes, it's a convenience.
Do a lot of people blame the religion? When the religion itself is a gun. A gun ain't going to kill anybody unless somebody pulls the trigger. And the same with the religion. You got put into a religion without any choice. And do you take your anger out on the religion when you wish you could take it out on your parents? You wish you could take it out on your dad to say, why did you put me in this crap?
Mm.
A lot of people, I think, are angry at the religion when actually the religion is just it's not the problem. The problem is the people who going into it and why they're going into it.
Yeah, there's the underlying reasons why people are
society
are susceptible to.
And it's what the problem is. What is driving people to go to it? It's not the religion. Yeah. The religion has no saleability at all. It's the most boring thing to know. You have to be mentally ill to go there as a sane person. Yeah. There's nothing in it for anybody. So why are people going there?
Well, I think people aren't going there now. I think now, in the age of knowledge and the internet, people aren't. I think there was a big drive pre-1975 when there was none of this stuff and people couldn't research and people were more open to different ideas maybe and were unable to disprove them. And because they said Armageddon was coming in 1975, they had a big influx then of people who...
Of what? Fear? I mean, if you tell me the world's coming to an end, a bird jump on board.
It was more wanting a utopia, I think. It was more wanting the pandas and the paradise. And wanting it so badly that you were willing to suspend disbelief. And it was just around the corner. And then, yeah. So we've talked about this before. We've talked about this in relation to your cousin and to yourself. I can blame all my stuff on the cult, and that's nice for me to do that. But some people have awful childhoods and situations, and they've got nothing to blame it on. And in many respects, that's a lot harder, because I've got a little gang, and I've got all my exes, and we can all talk about it together, and we all understand each other, and we can blame it on the religion. But you don't have that. Your cousin doesn't have that, does he? He had a lousy, lousy childhood. But he can't blame it. And that, you know, I think we don't have the monopoly on rubbish lives.
No, you don't. I think it's easy to blame the religion. I think if you took the religion out of it, I think a lot of people's issues would be parent issues.
Mm.
And you think it's the cult, you think it's this, you think it's that about the religion and the brainwashing and everything. And yes, they may do that.
That adds on to it, yeah.
The fundamental problems with people that go there are parent issues. It's poor parenting.
Mm.
And it's poor, upbringing. They haven't given you the right, they didn't have the tools, they haven't given you the tools. And I've got issues, and I wasn't brought up amazingly well by any means, and I don't have that religion, so yeah. I can take it away.
Mm.
I can take that away, the religion part of it, and I don't think people in religion can do that and go, actually, if we take that religion out, oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, I've still got issues.
My dad was weird. Actually, my mum never stood up for me.
Yeah.
My mum did, and blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, all these issues and all this pain that you push towards the religion, actually, it was my mum and dad. Mum and dad should have put me first, not a religion. And it's not the religion that's the fault, it was your mum and dad. That's not your mum, but
parents should put their
kids first and bring them up.
And you're imagining, oh, if only we hadn't been born into this cult, I would have had loving parents that would have put me first. Well, they might have found something else to put first.
Yeah.
They might have found a hobby or alcohol or watching telly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or anything else but you to put first. Because if you've got that capacity to not put your kids first.
Mm.
For this reason, then perhaps you've got the capacity to not put them first for that reason as well.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at the witnesses as just another vice, like cigarette.
Right, yeah.
Like
drinking.
And if you get involved too much, you can't get out.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's an addiction.
It's a crutch like alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's masking your own issues that you're unable to face.
Yeah.
And so you're overlaying them with fun alcohol or fun Bible.
So what would I do then? What would I do regarding the petition? What would I do?
Oh, yeah, the protest, yeah.
So if you said, I know all the people now, yeah. I've got a feel of them, yeah. I know roughly where they are, what would I protest? I don't, like you said, I don't like this idea that you need two witnesses and
yeah,
all
the
that
two
rubbish.
Witness rule.
That's
yeah.
naughty.
Yeah, to say the least.
That's
yeah.
naughty. But the general population of this religion, this particular congregation, yeah. just sad. Just sad. I mean, I feel sorry for them. I don't personally think religion doing them any harm. Really. I think it's somewhere to go to. I don't think, is it brainwashing them? Not really. I don't think they've really got a brain to wash.
I think they've been brainwashed. I think you've seen them at the end of the process. They're numb and bored.
Exactly.
But the process has done that to them. They might not have been numb and bored 40 years ago. They might have had options. I mean, it kind of comes back to kids. What it's doing is it's clipping the wings of those children. Right? So they'll never be allowed to play football for the school. Never be allowed to join the school netball team. They'll never be allowed to do the school play. They'll never be allowed to do music lessons. Or if they do music, you can do Christian music. Like, I don't know, you can play guitar for a little while. But if you get really good, then you've got to jack it in, because it might be that the school asks you to join the orchestra. So anything that involves any commitment, those children will never be allowed to do any of the things that they might be good at. If they go to Barnwell Park and they find they're good at dance, they won't be allowed to go to Mandy Godin's dance studio, right, because that's too much. So it's just like snipping the wings off them. So by the time you're 16, you've had your wings cut. You know at 16, there's nothing you can do. Can't even join a Sunday league, a five-a-side, to have a kickabout, unless it's five other Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm. Yeah.
So your wings are cut by then. So then you've got to craft a life from the things you're allowed to do. And that's hardly anything.
Yeah.
It's quite hard. Mm. And then you become numb. And then if you stay in it for years.
They were quite big on upping their numbers to me.
Are they?
Like, there's 8.5 million Jehovah's Witnesses now. It's the size of a small country.
Really?
Okay, fair enough. And the congregation, they were quite, there's at least three congregations and there's at least 100 in each. I thought, I'll say 300.
Yeah, to shout about. That's interesting. It sounds like they covered every single topic possible.
I mean, obviously I'm very approachable anyway.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get enough of me. I mean, literally, I must have shook 25, 30 people, hands.
You better.
All men, obviously.
You better wash your hands before you come
to
bed.
I've got goodness.
Ooh.
I've got elderly goodness on there.
Oh, yeah, so that's the question I was going to ask you. How long do you think it's going to take you before you become an elder then?
Well, apparently it's all about how good you are.
Did you ask?
I talked to this paedophile next to me.
Okay.
But he's only been there 12 months, and really.
Mm.
Anyway. So he said, it's all about reading the Bible and how much study you can put in and how much you know and how, and it's also, I suppose, answering the questions. It's like any test, answering the questions how they want you to.
Yeah.
Because you've got bumbling idiots there that don't have a clue. And they're just, and they're being polite. They're going, oh, that's a good point. Please save me. Please, somebody.
Is the five, the five. The real answer.
And they actually put the five all spread out.
I see. You think they placed them.
It's deliberate.
I just, really?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, they were literally in an X.
I suspect they did that themselves, subconsciously.
Maybe they're all alpha Jehovah's Witnesses and they don't want to stay.
They don't want to sit near each other. No, I suspect they do it to encourage the flock to dot themselves around. My God. That's so interesting. Well, thank you.
That's all right.
For going.
That was an hour and 40 minutes. I'm never going to get back.
I know.
I couldn't believe it was... this is the best bit. There's me shaking my hands at the end. They're going, they keep wanting to talk to me. When you lie, well, you don't say a lot. And they kept asking me more and more questions. I kept thinking, oh, God, well, where do I live? What do I do?
Who do I live with?
Yeah. Are you single? That's the first question they asked me. Are you single?
No, really?
Yeah, I said, yeah. I live on my own. I live on my own and don't do nothing.
So, that's so funny.
And then I thought, I've got out. I leave the front door thinking, I get round. And my car's blocked in.
No!
I think, shit, they're on to me. I just thought, I'm going to leg it over and leave your car, I don't care.
Like on the Alan Partridge episode, with them not to chasing him, he's going, you're mentalist.
And so I think, I've got to go back in. And I go, oh, someone's blocked me in. And so there's a big announcement. Who's blocked this young man in?
And did they call you a young man?
Yeah, and the woman went,
oh my god. They
dragged her out and removed the car.
She was marched out by the elders.
Yeah, so.
Wow. Does this mean that I've got to go to Gloucester Athletics Club now to do my my stint the other way?
No, I've got a good understanding now of a meeting.
Yeah.
Not a religion.
No, but a meeting, what a meeting looks like, yeah.
Yeah, and I would have lots more razzmatazz.
Okay, yeah.
And dancing girls.
Yeah. Would you, you know all those walk-on girls that have been sacked from the darts and that we could have them at the meetings, right?
Oh, definitely.
You'd introduce walk-on girls.
Definitely walk-on girls.
Right, okay.
Get rid of the pedophiles.
Yeah, that's a good, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, definitely. I could
fully concur with that one.
Yeah. A lot of sexual tension there. You could sense that, actually, a lot of sexual tension.
Really? Was that just because you walked in? No.
Probably, but no, you could. There was just the women. The women married to the smart men.
Yeah.
They're all tidy.
Yeah.
But you could just tell they were all like this sexual oos going around.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell.
No wonder you're all the way you are.
I don't know what you're saying there. I don't. Stop. We've got to stop this podcast now.
All right.
Give any
I know, tips. I know.
You know.
Very strange.
Well, I'm glad you didn't reveal that you were married to an apostate. That would have deeply upset them all.
Right.
Wow. Well, thank you. I mean, thank you for going. I think that's really brave of you.
Thank you.
And thank you for relating it all. Okay. And thank you to my two listeners for listening to another episode of JW Podcast.